Hi there, everyone. My name is Thomas Segi, and I'm the 2019 Pride of the Hype. And welcome to the Kink Closet. This is a podcast that I'm doing to go around and interview people throughout the community and find out their stories. Today, I am joined by Matt Bluff. Matt is an active member within the Sydney community, had a helping hand in starting the Sydney Kink Crawl, and is also more famously known from his success of the Eagle Sydney throughout this year's Mardi Gras. Matt, say hello.
Hello, everybody.
How are you feeling today?
It's been a good day. Thanks, Thomas. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much. Happy to be here with you via Skype.
Brought to you by Skype during isolation.
Yes. This is how these podcasts will be going for the foreseeable future. But it's been good because we can do these quite easily now.
Yeah.
So are you ready to step inside the kink closet?
Oh, I'm not sure about that, but let's give it a go.
Okay, perfect. So I'll ask the question that I ask everyone else. Tell me who you were before you were a fetish person.
I've been knowing that you've been going to ask this question, given it's the question you ask everybody. So I've been thinking about it, and I know that everyone says, oh God, it was a really long time ago, but they're all much younger than me, so it was really a long time ago. And I've been kind of thinking about it. I think, you know, I was probably about 25 when one of my boyfriends at the time took me to my first leather bar here in Sydney, which was in the basement of the Unicorn Hotel, and only people of a certain age will even know where that is.
I think you've shown me that.
Where yeah, probably. And then I thought, okay, that was my first experience. And then I actually got to remember that my best friend in school and I went to a place that was just on Crown Street called The Link when I was probably about 18 or 19. And so that, you know, the person I was before I was a kink person was kind of this guy that was just out of university and had started his first job and up till then had, you know, done all the right things and, you know, gone to school and been a good boy and gone to university and graduated and then got a job and then kind of went, yeah, I've known I was gay since I was probably about 13 and you know, kink just started naturally evolving. And you know, I didn't probably even identify it as kink in those days, but it was more a leather fetish. So that was a very long time ago. That boy was a young, naive boy.
I mean, that boy also had like colored hair.
Actually, by about 25 I was starting to turn a bit salt and pepper already, so you make that joke and it's like, well, maybe not. But yeah, it was a long time ago, I tell you. Jesus.
Okay, so describe to me, what was a leather fetish to you in the eyes of a 25-year-old?
That's a difficult question. It was actually something just that I knew was innately part of me being attracted to men, actually.
Okay.
Because, you know, back in the Stone Age, we had to pass around stone tablets with erotic photos on them. I mean, there wasn't the internet or anything like that. I mean, God, if there was a gay character in a TV show, bloody hell, that was like
scandalous.
Like the gay character in Dynasty, you know, that was scandalous at the time, you know. To have a, you know, Will and Grace and those sort of things and gay characters on Neighbours and, you know, being, you know, it's so mainstream now. It's just compared to even 20 years ago, 30 years ago when I was growing up or coming out.
Yeah.
So, you know, to me, just having a leather fetish, it was innately part of my gayness. Yep. And I have no idea why.
Okay. So it wasn't just kink in general. You just knew that your attraction to men was stemmed from a interest in leather from there. And from what I'm hearing is because that it was just so different to what you, from what little you saw around you in your culture.
Well, I kind of don't know. I think in many instances, whether it's coming out as gay or coming out as leather or rubber or fetish or whatever, people just say that they feel it's inside them and it's something that is part of them. Yeah. And it's exactly that for me, you know. It's just been part of me being gay for such a long time. And Sydney, obviously growing up in Sydney, there was such a limited accessibility to that part of the scene because there were only ever one or two organisations. And again, they were not part of the mainstream gay culture at that time. It was a subculture. And
subculture within a subculture.
Yeah. I mean, I remember being taken by the same boyfriend to the SLPA club rooms out at Alexandria, where there is now a massive apartment building, but it literally was in a warehouse that was like a construction site.
Yeah.
And these guys had hired this warehouse, and that was the club rooms, and that's where all the leather guys met, you know. So it was not even on Oxford Street. It was way off the scene, and this was a sub group of the gay culture that was kind of not talked about, really.
Okay. All right. You are getting taken to these club rooms. All right. So that's going to be a new experience for you. What was that like?
It was funny because the other day, I can't even remember where we were. We might have been at the Eagle and we were talking about something. And I said to the guy who was a little bit younger than me, you know, some things never change. The first time I went to the SLPA club rooms, I was standing there. I was probably only 26 at the time. And, you know, there's all these boys in biker leathers and chaps and that sort of stuff standing around all trying to be butch. And the three people behind me were having a conversation about this great new recipe they'd just made. And literally I heard that conversation at the Eagle as well during Mardi Gras. And so, you know, that was kind of the first experience that, you know, it's not this standoffish, weird, you know, hyper-masculine, truly hyper-masculine culture. It's just real people, you know.
Yeah.
And I think I said to someone recently, you just have to start meeting people and realize that not everyone's a freak like you might think they are, or weird, or any of those sort of things. But it's just normal people who have an extra specialty in their arsenal of being gay or kinky or queer, is that they're a fetish person.
Okay, so let's just go back on that. In your time there, have you been seeing this kind of facade being put up, or this kind of image that is always put up when it comes to men in leather? And what has it been to you, and how have you seen it kind of evolve, or what's your opinions on this kind of image?
Well, I think it has certainly started off as a very masculine thing, right? I mean, the whole leather scene kind of evolved out of motorcycle clubs, which you can understand. And at the same time, Time of Finland has been really, I think, one of the main images that younger people, or people just coming into their kink world, see of leather and that sort of thing. And those images are really hyper-masculine.
Yes.
And so I think for a long time when I was growing up, that was kind of the image that this kink world entailed. And, of course, if you're looking at cartoons, which, you know, Tom of Finland ostensibly is a cartoon, or you're looking at porn, a lot of those people are the best humanity, you know, human sort of bodies that they have are not reflective of the community in general. And so over time, I think that has really broken down, because, which is a good thing, because you see much more real type people being involved in the kink scene. And a lot of that's just visibility as well. And I think a lot of the queer sort of culture has broken into the kink scene, and you can be who you are. And a lot of the queer community and the kink community are now kind of blending into one. So you've got a lot more, many dimensions in the kink world. I mean, it used to really just be leather. That was the only vision you had. And then you had rubber. And then they were kind of geographically based. So, you know, Europe was very rubber, America was very leather. Mm. And, you know, now you've got the blending of a lot of things. You've got drag leather, and you've got sports gear people, and you've got, you know, people who just are queer or straight or pan. And things like Hellfire, obviously, in Sydney have been very important in that side of the kink culture as well. But I think there's, you know, the visibility of people over the last, say, 5 years even has been very important to make the community much more inclusive.
Yeah. Well, could you say that because of the time period of when you grew up and when you're being active, there just wasn't that many opportunities to show that kind of visibility, or because it wasn't reflected in the content you had access to?
I would say so. And I think, you know, if, you know, at certain points in time when I was growing up, lots of people lived in Europe for 2 or 3 years. And if I'd have gone and lived in London, there would have been like 6 clubs or kink venues open every weekend. Whereas in Sydney and Melbourne, we had like one in each place. And, you know, Brisbane had a couple of nights and those sort of things. So it fosters in your geographical location really different kind of abilities to participate, especially if it's not seen as mainstream.
Yeah.
And I think actually social media has actually helped bond that community together, or our community together, much more really quickly in the last 2 or 3 years. I've really seen how many great relationships I've made with fetish people who live overseas and in Australia, just because we're on the same chat groups and Facebooks and Instagrams and all those sort of things.
Yeah.
And it's really bringing the community together and actually showing people, A, that there's a lot of normal people involved in this community. It's not a sort of freaky thing on the sidelines.
Yeah.
And allowing people to communicate and ask questions and work out, you know, how that side of their sexuality can be explored by them. I had 2 people during the Eagle Bar come up to me. One guy had caught the train in from Liverpool by himself. It had been the first kink event he'd been to, and he was literally like beside himself. He was just, his eyes were like bugging out, and he was just chatting to me like excitedly going, I've never imagined that there could be this many people in kinky gear all in the one place all at the one time. And it's that's what we need, you know, in every town, so that young kinksters can go, actually, coming out was hard, but coming out into kink is another level again, you know.
I mean, that is another level. That's kind of what this podcast is showing, is that you can do it, and then you have to, there is always another element to come out again with this kink world. But you're saying that social media has been quite a positive influence in terms of the kink and fetish community?
I reckon it has. I think it's putting resources into people's hands, totally, right? You know, they can Google and explore and ask questions and see what other people are into and go, oh, you know, I thought I was the only one who liked sneakers and was got off on the smell of sneakers. And it's like, dude, no. there's a whole subculture of that. And, you know, just find your people, basically, you know.
So talking about finding your people, Let's talk a little bit about the Eagle. How did you find with the inclusivity of all the different theme nights that you had with the Eagle?
How did I find? Listen, the purpose.
How did that go?
The purpose of the Eagle was to provide something that I thought was lacking during Mardi Gras. And it's certainly lacking, I think, in Sydney now at the moment, although there's a big resurgence with stuff like the Hyde and the Non-Denom and all those other places. But it was to provide a fetish bar where fetish people could come and feel at home, whether they came for the entire night or they came for a drink before dinner or after dinner or going to something else. Just kind of a space. And, you know, the nights that there were the main themes, you know, the bluff nights, the leather nights, the rubber, biker, sports gear and puppies and the other ones, I always knew that the people who are into that sort of kink would come and find their home. The other nights that I thought would be a little bit more, you know, let's just test the water and have couple of general nights and see how they go.
Like with the ones,
yeah, Max Fetish was a bit like, to me, it was a bit like a filler. It was on a Tuesday night and it's who's going to come and let's just have a bring everyone together to come in whatever fetish you are. It was packed.
It
was one of the weirdest things that every night was really crowded and the ones I thought would be not busy were still as busy as the other nights, you know? So it's, I think the lesson it taught me was that there is the need, and so many people said to me, you know, that there's the need for a kink space and a fetish space. And not discrediting any of the other kink spaces that are around, but as an example, and I just used it before, on the sportswear night, I met this group of sneaker freaks, and they appreciate the fact that they get called sneaker freaks. They love their sneakers. That is a very specific thing.
Yeah.
And the guys were like, I'm so grateful that I could come and be who I am on a night that was built for me, you know? And they just don't feel like there is anywhere that they can go to in a pub or a club setting that is focused on what they're into. So, you know, it's those sort of things. I think, you know, there's plenty of kinks out there. So you just need to make the space and people will unveil that that's their thing.
Yeah, it's good. It's good that you've been making such a space for them as well. I'm going to ask the question, is there a plan to continue the Eagle in the future?
There is definitely plans. We were planning before isolation took the effect. Certainly during Mardi Gras, we'll do the same thing again because it got such a great rap and great feedback, and there were even people from overseas. There was one of the sneaker freaks is like, I'm coming back next year from Germany and I'll be here. And some of the other guys, friends of mine who couldn't get here this year will be coming next year.
And they want to have their
They want to have a fetish space. I think Sydney, you know, with the demise of the barracks, there is no fetish space anymore in Sydney that is open every weekend. Say we have parties, we have the Hyde, we have Non-Denom and very specific nights with their themes. Extra Dirty is a great, bastion of the Sydney environment. I think we might test the waters and maybe have something every couple of months, see how that goes. Certainly when we get out of isolation and pubs are allowed to open again, I think everyone's going to want a big blowout and have a massive night. So let's plan towards that. I think I've even got the theme, but I'm not going to reveal it right here.
I don't get the exclusive straight away.
No, you do not. Maybe it's going to be called Mask for Mask. Mask for Mask. I don't know.
With all these isolation masks.
Yeah, that's right. There might be a prize for the best mask, but who sees? Who knows? Let's see. But, you know, I think I had such a great time planning and participating in the Eagle that it's not going to be something that's just going to pass away. It'll have something, whether it's a yearly event, but I think it's not going to be just a yearly event. It'll definitely be back.
Nice. And just going right back with it there, you mentioned that your kink wasn't, you didn't really know that it was a kink as a leather person. How did your kinks develop over time? I know we don't have much time left, but just briefly, how did you know, or what happened that caused them to kind of evolve? Because I know it's not just leather anymore.
Yeah, well, it's definitely not. You know, I've always loved tight-fitting material on a man's body. So whether it's leather or rubber or lycra or anything like that. I think I've been very fortunate enough to be able to travel.
Yeah.
And as I said, you know, not that I did the 2 years in London and Europe, but many of my friends did. So whilst they were there, I went and crashed on their floors quite a lot.
Yeah.
And we would go out to the clubs and nights in London, and some great old clubs. There was a club in London, it was a pub sort of thing called the LA on the weekends, and it was basically a fetish bar.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you just go into those sort of places when you're a young guy or a gal or whatever you identify with, person, and you go, these are my people.
Yeah.
This is where I want to be. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of, you know, how I discovered some of the other fetishes like rubber and lycra and those sort of things. It wasn't necessarily here in Sydney. And that's why one of the things of the kink crawl, when I wanted to start in Sydney, and I'd been fortunate enough to be in San Francisco for work when they were having their equivalent kink crawl around the Castro. Now, you wouldn't think in San Francisco that you would need something people to see other kinksters, right? But the prime aim of their kink crawl was literally to be visible in non-fetish spaces, so that if there was a young gayling in that area who kind of thought, oh, I think I might be into rubber, and he sees a rubber person walk into their normal bar, and he or she can go up to that person and say, hey, I'm really interested in rubber, but I don't know how to start, or whatever. That's what you want to see. You want to be visible in your environment. Yeah. And you think in Sydney, people who know about the hide and know about non-denom, they go to those places. But the kinksters don't go to the places where you go to when you first come out.
No.
You know, you don't go to Stonewall or you don't go to Palms. I mean, the first kink crawl when I took 15 people in fetish gear into Palms was one of the best days of my life because it was just joyous because, A, there's no pretension in Palms anyway, right?
Yeah.
And then to see people in puppy hoods and leather and rubber, you know, having fun to trashy music was just amazing. So, you know, I think the thing is everyone's story is different, but unless you can connect with other people, then you'll still feel like you're isolated. So, you know, presence in the wider community is really important, not just being in a parade up Mardi Gras once a year. It needs to be all throughout the year.
I mean, I will not have you come for me with my float, okay? That was a lot of effort to do that, okay?
Honey, if you think that's coming for you, you ain't got nothing.
All right, so from what I can see is we have Matt walking into under the Unicorn Hotel in the basement over his time and becoming Matt, the person who provides those spaces for people to find their kinks. Am I correct?
You know, definitely. And I think it's just about opportunity. People always say this, but you create the opportunity. You see, like, the eagle literally happened from a conversation where the bear bar guy said to me, this space is going to be empty during Mardi Gras. Do you want to run a fetish bar? And I was like, yes, please. You know, something that we don't have. I've been thinking about how do we make it happen? Right place, right time.
Yeah.
Someone said, here's an opportunity. Just do it.
And you did it.
And, you know, it's about taking taking the leap, right?
Yeah.
To just, you know, you need to get to a point in your life where you go, fuck it, I'm just going to jump into a open chasm and see what happens.
Exactly. All righty, Matt. Thank you so much for sharing your story today. Thank you for coming into the kink closet.
And my pleasure.
Coming out of the kink closet with me. How do you feel?
It's been a long time since I've been in the kink closet, and coming out the second time was much less painful than coming out the first time.
As it should be. I mean, if it, to be honest, if it's not as painful, then I'm not doing my job as good as I should have.
Exactly.
However, it's been a great pleasure. Congratulations with all your success with the Eagle Sydney, and for all the, and thank you for all the work that you're doing for us in the community. Thank you, Matt.
It's my pleasure. Without any of everyone else, you know, there's just me in an empty room. So it's about the community. That's all it's ever been about.
Perfect. All righty. Thank you so much, and we'll see you around.
All right. Thanks, Thomas.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.